we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the border. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. As Illinois wins the round of 64 matchup against Moorhead State. They go glory hammer in the second half, or quite frankly, the fourth game in a row, 85-69, boys. It's the words of March. Three of them survive in advance. We move on to play Duquesne. We'll get to Duquesne later on in the episode, but let's talk about Illinois Moorhead State. I know it was a bit, some scary moments there until about the under 16 in the second half there, but I know the game ended many hours ago, but like everyone, let's take a nice collective breath.
Yeah, that was the most stressful 16-point win that I've ever watched. That was one of the longest halftimes ever.
Dude, I texted you, yeah. what day is it? How long was that halftime? I could not stay idle. I literally folded laundry. I could not sit at the and watch TV for the entirety of the halftime and like watch highlights and like watch the BYU Duquesne highlights that they're showing at half. Impossible.
Yeah. So hard. Just knowing that like you have 20 minutes and your season's online, like your season could be over. That was just like impossible to bear as a fan. And I feel like you could see it on some of the players early on in the game. Like it seemed like Ty had the yips a little bit. Like Quincy was kind of moving all over the place. Like, I don't know. There's something crazy when your season's on the line. And we've all enjoyed this team so much that knowing that it could be the end is really scary.
You want to think they're not thinking about that, but go ahead, yeah. Sam.
I was going to say, you'd also think like someone like Quincy Guerrier, like great to have his experience, but I guess like every like team and every situation is sort of like new yips all over again.
Yeah,
because if you're Quincy, like it's one thing you were a sophomore playing in the tournament, now it's like this is my last ride, so there's like an element of nerves there. Same thing like Coleman's last ride, a lot of these guys,
once Quincy loses, he's just like into dad life, like
yeah
he's trying to post.
I mean, like I'm sure he can like play pro basketball, but like when you think about it like that, it's like, damn, like this is 20 minutes to keep this phase of your life going, I guess.
That's so intense. Obviously, experience is one of the biggest things that you can have in a tournament like the NCAA tournament. There's one man who has the experience of winning a national championship, and that man's name is Dane Danger, who I love so much right now, who in the post-game interview said that nothing about this is surprising to him because he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, and he stays consistent. And goddamn, did the man show up today. I mean, Dane.
That was so funny. They were describing him at one point. We're like, yeah, he came from Baylor where he won a national championship. Like that, like the way that they described it, the announcers, as if Dane was like the eighth man on that team getting like solid minutes and like truly national champion pedigree. But it was great.
Him and his buddy, Matthew Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. You want to talk about tournament performances. Matthew Meyer, I think, 0-for-6 from 3 in that Arkansas game. So,
well, let's stay present. the man went,
but wait, staying present. Coleman couldn't even stay present. He had to chirp him during his like pregame interviews on WCIU.
Oh,
like, WCIU.
Yeah,
he was chirping him the whole time.
Well, not the whole. He made a comment about, you know, this year's team versus last year's team, and how everyone wanted to be here, and we're not going to read into it too much. I don't want to create a big stir out of this and throw Coleman under the bus, but I think he was just highlighting that this team is probably a lot more cohesive, and the culture is better, and there's a hungrier desire to win this year. So we got you, Cole Hawk. But yeah, the man went 9-for-9. Did Dane Danger?
He was amazing.
He was incredible to watch right there. Just some of those. Oh, just between the defenders.
Yeah, he had like the lefty layups a couple times. Like he had that one at the end of the shot clock where it seemed like he had no angle to make that shot
It was
made it.
amazing.
Like, it was every time I'm just like, the big fella, get it in him. Like,
The dancing bear.
And I said this to you guys, like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have been nervous. This is just like regular non-con game for Dane against like a low to mid-major team. Like, he's been dominant like that for the past 2 years. Anytime you play a Colgate or a Fairleigh Dickinson, that's like, Dane's like, all right, no one can guard me out here. Like, and I don't have to worry about some like skilled big man in the Big Ten. Like, this is my time to shine. And
hell yeah.
He
hell
was freaking
yeah.
Dane Danger today.
It was awesome to watch. You know, again, he did it on the national stage, on a smaller national stage of the Big Ten tournament, and now to do it on a big national stage here in round one of the tournament to give him his flowers. It must feel incredible for him. So shout out Dane. Let's talk one. I just want to give a quick shout out before I do forget to DGL, those two threes.
Yeah,
that was really obviously Robert pointed out, and I thought about this after his second three, that he hit the 23 in a row
yes.
in shoot around. And when I read that tweet yesterday, I was like, does that really matter? Dudes probably hit threes all the time. You know, they go on hot streaks all the time in practice and whatever. And for him to hit after that first three, DGL was fired up right there. Johnny texted us like, I didn't know I could love DGL like that. Just seeing him hit those two threes. When we needed it in the first half
to
stay just a little bit closer with them. We needed that.
And that was the confusing part. Like, we're talking about, like, so many guys have jitters. And then here's DGL, who, like, seemed to kind of be jittery throughout all Big Ten play. He goes into a tournament game and just, like, ice cold. And that second 3-2, like, the way that he swished it, like, he was just so, like on point accurate, you know, like maybe it's like something about this gym that he's at that he just like has, the sight lines are perfect for him or something. But yeah, I respect the hell out of DGL. And it's like those two guys in particular, like your minutes fluctuate all season. Like it's so hard to get into a rhythm and like it's easy to check out and like go through adversity, be like, I'm kind of done with this. So like it's really fun to see those guys, like their hard work being a D1 athlete paying off.
Yeah. Freshmen playing in March Madness like will always make you nervous in a tournament like that. So for him to come in and play 10 solid minutes to grab a rebound to hit both of his shots, like that's just how you step up right there. I love that right there. And I want to just talk about the Instagram post of him and Nico and Hansberry after the Big Ten title. I don't know their caption offhand, but I love their caption. It basically alluded to them, all three of them being for 3 or 4 years at Illinois and building this thing and continuing this thing going. So shout out to the three of you gentlemen today, to the freshmen. I know Amani and Nico got in at the end there in garbage time. So shout out to the Frosh today. Shout out.
Sam, you were smirking over there. You were smirking.
No, I'm just trying to find this Instagram post. I'm smirking because I was thinking about how RJ went off as a freshman in the tournament, and everyone was like,
"Hey, let's stay present. Hey, let's stay
but,
present."
Yeah, I know. I don't want to conjure that up.
If he doesn't hold on to the rim, is he on the team right now?
No, I don't think that makes a difference. I mean, we can play a little butterfly, whatever it's called, butterfly effect. Like, how do we win that? Do we win that game then if he doesn't hang on to the
rim?
We win
the national championship.
Oh well, if we win the Natty, he's probably sticking around. And if
RJ's
he's
probably
the team,
in the NBA. Yeah.
Right. Because he would have had a great sophomore year.
Yeah,
anyways.
Exactly.
Anyways, bringing us back to the teams that are still, in PenPom top 150, Illinois. So, again, for the fourth half in a row, Illinois goes absolutely nuclear. You know, at the under 16, you're down by one. At the under 12, you're up by nine. And at the under eight, you're up by 21. Like, boys, don't take these second halves for granted. Like, it is so fun to watch these last four second halves against these teams. Ideally, you'd love to be in a position in which you don't have to go on a run like this and you're not down, you know, nine at the start of the game or double digits in these other three Big Ten tournament games. But don't take for granted the offense that we get to watch for these last.
Yeah, and like, I don't know if is it non-off switch? Is it just like, just kind of grinding teams out and like kind of getting adjusted, or I know certain factions of Illini Twitter would hate to even consider this, but maybe it's Brad Underwood making coaching adjustments. But but for whatever reason, this team has always been a second half team. Like, even though they came in second place in the Big Ten, they were first in second half point differential. Like, whatever it is about this team, like, they always seem to be better in the second half. So something that I would love to remind myself at halftime or in the start of the first half when you're losing. But like, I felt like after the end of that game, I'm like, I should have just been more confident in this team. Like,
I know, I felt bad.
They started the game on a 9-0 run, and like, there were certain points where it's like, are they just going to hit every three? Like, is that what Morehead State's going to do? And of course they didn't. And by that, under eight, like, we broke Morehead State. They were broken.
Yeah,
but
especially when we started going out. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just gonna say, I mean, obviously, it is a little more nerve wracking when your season's on the line. Like, you're losing to Colgate or Oakland, who is hopefully going to be Kentucky here, who we beat handily. But besides the point, it's like, starts to get a little antsy for every like second that goes by that you don't start to pull away. But it was kind of interesting because I feel like Morehead took like a few kind of make or break threes that they missed that sort of opened the door for us. But it would have been like interesting to see if they kind of just ran their offense and like tried to kind of hang around, just what could happen. Cause I feel like the longer you go into these games without pulling away, the antsier you kind of start to get.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like,
yeah,
we pulled away at the right time to not have it
definitely.
like not cutting down.
Too close.
Because it did remind me like some of those early non-con games, like Valpo, Oakland, like we were losing at halftime to Valpo, and that was not like a good team. But you just kind of knew it's like, we're gonna pull this game away. But it does feel different when your season's on the line. But the announcers made an interesting point too about like, we did kind of tire out Minix by just like engaging him
on defense
every single time.
That was awesome.
Like,
I loved how we just did that.
If Dane is screening you, you're going to be feeling it. Like,
I love that. I just love that. Like, homie got his, he put up whatever it was, 23 or whatever it was. He played 36 game or 36. I should have had 38 minutes. He put up his 27 points, and he got his for sure. And he had some really nice moves. He hit those little off the glass jumpers, and he got his. But he got grinded down by the end of the game for sure. And that's just big boy Dane setting his screens right there. So that was nice to see. You know, it's pretty remarkable, guys, that we've gotten to this point in the podcast, and we haven't talked about like the two best players are arguably the biggest storyline of the game, and that's obviously Terrence's play and Damask's triple double. Right, we haven't even talked about that yet, which I mean speaks to just the amount of things that you have to talk about after an NCAA tournament win. But dude put up a triple double in his first NCAA tournament game. Has it? No one since Ja or Draymond Green. Like, in 40 years from now, when Marcus is like 65 years old, he'll get to tell his grandkids that him, Ja, and Draymond Green are on a list together in terms of guys who put up triple doubles recently in his time in the NCAA tournament. Like, that is just remarkable right there. So shout out Marcus for a triple double.
Those are literally two guys who like Draymond will probably be in the Hall of Fame. If Ja continues to play that he does, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's the list that Marcus Damask is on. Josh is shaking his head right now. I don't think he realizes how easy it is to get in the Hall of Fame for the NBA.
No.
Wallace is in the Hall of Fame.
I don't want to say what I'm about to say about Ja.
6.5 points. Oh, yeah, he needs to get his off-the-court stuff figured out. But Marcus being on that level is crazy because I think everyone was like, yeah, Marcus played okay today. Like, yeah, he had a triple-double, but, like, I don't even know if this is a top 10 Marcus Domas game. Like, he really was just fine.
That is.
Were
just...
you guys? Did you guys, were you guys like even aware that he was in triple double territory assist wise? Like,
yes,
I don't know if I registered that. Okay.
Just because like you saw his I don't know I saw his halftime stats and I'm like, that's a really weird line. Like, he has 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and like 4 points. Like, that's just a little different for Marcus's usual stat line.
It was pretty, it was awesome.
I think in the post game, I just saw tweets about it, but Marcus didn't realize, and Terrence had to come up to him and be like, hey, shoot the ball, because you're very close to a triple-double. He was going to be mad if he didn't shoot the ball.
I like how
you will not get out of this game until you get a triple-double.
Yes, Brad did do the IO against Minnesota.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I think that's just spectacular that we went from our tummies are so queasy, will we win this game, to we're literally just keeping Marcus in garbage time so we can get an extra bucket, so we can get a triple-double. Just the polar opposites there in a matter from the under 16 to like the under 4 right there. So that was spectacular to watch. I love watch his parents. His parents get really like into it right there. So I like when they showed his parents right there. But that whew, good for you, Marcus. You're always gonna be able to look back at that and say that you're one of 10 ever to put up a triple double in the NCAA tournament. So good for you, Marcus.
Shout out Dan Damask, Marcus's dad.
They look so similar.
Yes, they do. That's just what Marcus is going to look like in 30 years. But yeah, Maddie, you mentioned earlier, how have we gone this long without talking about Marcus? We also need to talk about Terrence. Like, that performance in the first half was nuts. Like, he had 19 points. I almost yelled at the announcer when she's like, well, yeah, but he didn't score the last 4 minutes. It's like, he's on pace for 38 points. What do you think, Morehead State just figured this guy out? Like, it was, he was ridiculous. And honestly, like, the play of the game for him was not any time scoring the ball. It was him diving on the floor, throwing the ball, Demonte Williams-esque, off of the guy.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
I was talking to Bricker, and he and I both had the same thought. It reminded me of, remember when Io said to Adam Miller, like, yo, this isn't high school anymore. We dive on the ball for like we dive on the yes. floor for loose balls during a practice. Like, that's when your best player, an NBA prospect, is doing that. That's like, shows the culture that you have. And that's like, everyone has to be hustling all the time when a guy like that is doing that.
All right, so if you can't hear in the background, you can hear like an airport announcement going on. I am in the airport. I couldn't watch much of the game. I had it on a screen, but I was kind of presenting during the game. And when Terrence had that play, I made like a motion and my coworker kind of like jittered because she was like just confused on like what I was doing. But that play, I legitimately was going to have like an external reaction where I definitely couldn't have, because it was such a massive play in the game. I think I saw a tweet about saying like, that is like one of those main first highlights that you see in one shining moment. It's like, sure. Like, just, it shows the all out energy. And when it's one, your best player on one of the best teams in the country, it was one that belongs.
You best hope some specific people aren't listening to that podcast right now, Josh, this podcast that we're also at your meeting there. That was an awesome play right there. Look, guys, if we're not giving effort now, what's the point? But he had that play in the second half, but he had the play in the first half too, where it was almost a similar effort play where he dove in the air, he went to the ground, kept his dribble, got up, and dunked it. You know, that reminded me of the Jadeveon Clowney play in the Outback Bowl against Michigan, where he just kind of one hand gets the ball. He goes, Clowney deserves to have it, where he's just stronger than the other dude. And in all in one motion, up, down, up to the hoop in the first half. So both those plays were remarkable. He had one insane effort play in both half, but that's just a, I'm so much stronger than you. Yes. And I'm going to do this with one half of my, with one hand, with one arm, with one half of my body right there.
So I was afraid they were going to call a foul because he was just stronger than the guy and just like went up and got it. But fortunately, no foul.
On that break, there was like a second where Justin like thought Terrence was going to pass him the ball, and then Terrence just went in for the dunk. And that was like, he deserves to dunk it, and he does, kind of thing.
And Cloudy deserves to have it, and he does.
And yeah, he does.
That was a great play like that. So yeah. Again, anytime we can talk this much without having to talk about Damask and Shannon, despite them playing incredible games, like that's a good game right there. Excellent.
And you know who else played well too? Was Luke Goody. Hit some timely threes. He did miss a wide open one that I was Luke, what are we doing here? But there were a couple of other ones where it's like, okay, dagger. And just, it was also interesting. There were times where he was guarding Minix, and I was like, Are we sure we want to be doing this? We've got a lot of guys on our team here.
Right.
But Luke stepped up and also had a couple of big offensive rebounds too. Like, that was, I don't know, when guys get offensive rebounds, I'm just like so appreciative of them for just like being in the right spot, crashing the boards, and like I don't know. I feel like we're all in like a fragile emotional state. So anyway, to just be like, oh, save us. Same thing with Dane. Like Dane is just like a fucking comfort animal for me right now.
Stuffed, like
My
stuffed teddy
emotional
bear. I want to
support.
hug. I want to hug him right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. He is. Yeah. Shout out. Luke picked up four potentially, you know, those Quincy minutes that Quincy and Ty, quite frankly, did stutter. Kind of had those yips, like you said, Sam, in the game. So if Luke can step up and play defense, yeah, I think that was kind of fun when Minix and Luke were on one another. Then if he can hit those three, then kablam. Excellent. All right. That's game one. Guys, we gotta start scouting for Duquesne here. Like we got less than 2 days. We're still waiting on the game times here. Illinois alumni posted some video on Instagram and it was the team like coming back. And I think someone asked Brad who had the scout for Duquesne. He goes, Chester. So Chester, here we go, man. Yeah, let's give me the scout on the 11 seed Duquesne. Can I call them Duke, by the way, just for short? Is that are we cool? Let me
just
call
they're
them.
The Dukes.
Well, I want to call them Duke. The Duke Dukes. Josh doesn't like that nickname. What are they?
I feel like if we're like beating them, I could definitely hear Maddie.
This
saying,
is
like,
I'm not smiling because of that. I'm smiling about something else. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Good. Appreciate that, Sam.
I was gonna say, I feel like if we are fortunate enough to like be handily beating Duquesne, Maddie's definitely gonna be screaming like, "What is a Duquesne?" or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you pronounce Duke?
What
Duke,
even is
Duquesne? 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 Yes. All right. Donish, should we have the conversation about?
Yeah, I know. It
draws
was
and.
Huge. I'm so happy
I did
to
some
be wrong.
Numbers.
I couldn't be the more wrong. I couldn't be more of an idiot. I love being wrong. Right hand up. Ken Palm was wrong. I was wrong, and we get to play an 11 seed. This is amazing.
Go ahead, Sam.
One thing I will say is part of this is like from Tyler kind of planted this in my brain, and then I was sort of looking back on it. BYU, like, a little bit of a similar shtick to Illinois, like, very good offense, big three-point shooting team, and Duquesne kind of took care of them today, which is interesting, but that's the only scout I
but
have
that
so
was
far.
BYU. That's BYU.
Yeah.
That's a 5/6 seed right there. And Johnny, this is by no means, like, an attempt to shit on you, but this is just an attempt to say, this is how good of a draw that we got, and of all the years where we said we had a terrible draw, we have a
Yes.
great draw, right? Our average KenPom rating in game one and our round two game is going to be 97.5, right? 97.5. Let's just take a look at some of the other. See,
Dude, literally,
let's
so
take
many
a look
other
at
places.
A Marquette. Let's take a look. Marquette's a 2 seed, right? Again, depending on what their matchup is, either 81.5 or 78. Arizona, 97.5. Iowa State, who's in our bracket, 86.5 or 93. Let's look at some of the 3 seeds right now. Creighton, 74, right? They got to go 74. They got to play Oregon, who's got a higher KenPom than South Carolina, who they beat today. Baylor, either 89.5 or 83. And what's funny at the end here is I researched Kentucky. They're about to lose here. They would have had either 81.5 or 97. So all those matchups, right, 2s and 3 seeds, their KenPom is a more difficult matchup on average in their first two games than our first two games. Boys, we got the draw. We got
We got
the
it.
draw.
We deserve it. We deserve it. What made me feel really good was also, I'm not a huge believer in the net, but I much prefer KenPom. But if you look at the net, Duquesne's like 80 to 83. What this means is all we have to do to make this Sweet 16 is win a quad two game. Like, that's how simple that is. Win a quad two game and you're in the Sweet 16.
Oh my God, this is evil. This is evil. This is evil. This is so fucked up. This is so
we
fucked
deserve
up.
That is going to be the worst.
It's not fucked up. We deserve this.
Duquesne podcast.
We've been waiting
is
for
gonna
so
clip that.
Long to
that
just
is gonna...
have a simple path. You know what? We were such a good team in 2021, and we got rewarded with playing the number 9 team in the country in the second round.
Elliot is
going to
take
this.
That. I'm going to shout out Elliot. Elliot's going to take that once if we do lose and just play it over and over and over. It's going to be a zoomed in video where it just says, we have to win a quad two game nonstop. Like,
yeah.
Give me the easiest path. Give me the easiest path. Yes.
I saw a video today of like, it must have been like the Duquesne student union or something, like them going crazy after they won, and like definitely a bunch of people who like probably did not know Duquesne had a basketball team. And it reminded me of like the Robert USF rant. Like, why does this commuter school? I'm like,
yes,
like that would like, we care so much about Illinois basketball. And like, if these people are doing this again on Saturday, just like cheering about our demise a week after finding out they have a basketball team, that would suck.
That would suck. Down goes Kentucky. 3 seed. They're down. Boys, a 3 seed's down. All we got to do is win a quad 2 game. All you got to do is win a quad exactly. 2 game. And again, we're not saying that in like a taking it for granted, like, oh, we're just going to win a quad 2 game. But you don't have to face a 6 seed. You don't have to face a top 20 KenPom team. You don't have to, like, you don't have to face any of these draws that, you know, all the 3 seeds have more difficult, 2 seeds have more difficult draws than us. There is part of my dumb brain, and please tell me that you guys can understand even like a percent of this, where I'm like, oh, this is a harder matchup because it's like a plucky team that they have momentum, versus if it's the 6 seed versus the 3 seed, that's an easy matchup because we're the 3 seed and the 3 seeds should win. But oh, because it's Duquesne and they have their first NCAA tournament since 1969, that automatically gives them like more momentum. And now I'm more nervous because their storylines with Duquesne. Please tell me that makes like a little bit of sense from a dumb fan brain perspective.
It makes a little bit of sense. It makes a little
okay,
bit of
that's
sense.
All like, I'm looking for. Was
Duquesne
just
is a 9-game win streak going on. Like they're definitely a little hot.
I do feel like they're, but this is also like a bias, but like FGCU, VCU, UMBC, like the Cinderella Loyola, like the Cinderella teams, it feels like always like once they win one game, they win multiple. But then again, like you probably don't remember the Cinderella teams who just win one game and then lose the second round. So like there is, I don't know, there is like something.
It happens
to them,
all
like,
the time. I mean,
yeah, like once they get hot, it's like shit.
And,
shit.
And there is some like additional pressure as the favorite. Like, you're not even just playing the team that you're supposed to beat, the 6 seed.
Right.
Now
exactly.
You're playing like the 11th.
Right.
Like this.
That's
is
what
just
I'm saying.
So,
and they have nothing
like,
to lose.
Now it's such
that's
a can't lose game for us.
That's
in a way that it, yeah.
And the spread is out. And that's, Johnny, that's exactly what I was trying to say right there. I couldn't find the right words. But Josh is guessing 9 for the spread. Sam, what are you guessing?
I like 8.5, 9. I think that's
8.5, 9,
good
John.
I think it's going to be 10.5.
It's 9.5 right there.
9.5.
So right, nice job, Josh. Yeah, right in the middle there. Yes. I mean,
Johnny's like, got it on my way to DraftKings Sportsbook.
I literally, when he said that, my thought was, is that line going to be open on DraftKings tonight? Or am I going to have trouble because my flight's in the morning, so I won't be able to place the bet? But I did place a bet today during the Duquesne game, which like they were winning, which was like you could just bet on Illinois minus or like over 1.5 wins in the tournament. Huh. So that's so
you
that
a quad
Johnny,
two
what
game.
You,
yeah,
what
all
you
want to
do is
a quad two game.
You connect to the in-flight Wi-Fi, and then like once you're flying over a state where you can bet on Illinois, you just like you go in on it.
Again, you look at a 9 seed MSU going up to versus UNC. They're only a 1 seed. They're a 3.5-point favorite, right? Arizona 2 seed. They're all a 9.5-point favorite. Creighton, the 3 seed, is a 5.5-point favorite against Oregon, right? Like, guys, we got the draw. Again, we got the draw. We deserve it. And again, not putting the cart before the horse. Nothing has happened yet. But you are a double-digit favorite to make the Sweet 16 right now. I told you that, Johnny, 4 days ago, that you'd be a double-digit favorite to make the Sweet 16.
I would have been like, yeah, in awe. And I know, sitting here right now, I'm like, damn, I wish I was happier on Sunday and appreciated us winning the Big Ten tournament more, because my mood just went straight to being sad about, oh, we have a tough draw, oh, we're playing a 5 seed, all this stuff, just to not even have to worry about it. But it's a great day to be wrong.
There were times where I would just like there are times where I just have to play the highlights of like the last 5 minutes, just because like I was so upset with my draw, with the draw, and I was just like, I need to look back to Sunday. This team's awesome. Let's just look back to Sunday. We won a champion. I even rewatched Saturday's second half. Like, you just have to watch the second half of all of our games together, and we're the best team in the country.
The thing that was like, the thing that was like playing through my mind was like Robert saying, in my 51 years of life, this might be Illinois' best chance to win a national championship. And I was like, oh, we got to pull away from Moorhead. Like,
oh, that's so like sad. Yeah. Oh my God, Sam, I'm so sorry you had to like deal with that thought, right? That's so sweet of you to like, that's now that's going to be all of our thoughts for sure, you know, for however long Illinois plays in this tournament this year. So don't take it for granted. Don't take watching Illinois in the tournament for granted. The time is not up yet for the game, though, is it? Nope, still TBD. I'm thinking, what are you guys thinking? We thinking of Saturday night. I know Johnny will be at the game, but we thinking Saturday night at FD's, under the lights, at Finley's. Guys, Finley's is going to be rowdy on Saturday night. It is going to be the place to be. If you are a Fighting Illini fan, I'm not quite sure where the Duquesne bars are in the city, so we'll have to check on that. But, guys, it is going to be rowdy on Saturday. So I'm hoping for a Saturday night game, I think, is what I'd like.
I think all three of our tournament losses in the last few years have been day games, too. So, right?
Hey, present.
Yes.
Well, we haven't made it out of, according to the announcers, we haven't made it out of the first game in the last three times until they were finally corrected in like 5 minutes left in the game. Yes, first weekend.
Bad. But here's what I will say. I prefer, like, the night game is nice, and we've gotten snake bitten by the day games. But I don't know, even today, playing at 2 felt like eternity. Like, I woke up this morning ready to go. And just was like, oh, we still have 6 hours until we play a basketball game. Like,
longest
playing
a long
Saturday
day.
Night game, that would be such a long day. And the nice thing about, like, if you are able to win Saturday early and then just enjoy the rest of the slate, it's like the greatest thing ever. I don't know about you guys today. Like, after the Moorhead State game, I needed to like take a few minutes to like reconnect. I wasn't like, oh, on to the next game. It was like, whoa, like we just won, and just process it, enjoy it, and then now it's like I wasn't ready to look past it for a little bit, but now we're in
literally
game mode.
Literally, as soon as the game ended, I started watching Caleb Williams Pro Day highlights. Then I turned on the U.S. Jamaica friendly, and then I was like, all right, let's go
back to basketball.
Let's go enjoy the evening of March Madness.
I actually got into my Eastern Illinois scouting because they moved the game up one day to Thursday, August 29th. So I was a little bit behind on my scouting. So I got a little bit of that done. So just want to get the news out there. I know they did a news dump this morning before all the games started to not disappoint the fans that they're moving the game from Friday night to Thursday night. So, guys, Eastern's got a line this year. Just, I know we'll get into it, you know, in August, but Eastern's got a line.
It's funny you say that, though. Like, at halftime, when we were up by 1 point and I had the realization, like, the season might be over, I was like, I'm not ready to start thinking about Illinois football just yet.
No way. I'm seeing the spring ball videos. Yeah, exactly. I'm Twitter.
Like,
I'm like,
no, I was like, what am I going to do for the next month if we lose this game? Like, I'm my brain isn't there yet. Like, I need to attach to this team for like 3 more weeks before we can consider whether or not like Kevin Wigington is winning an offensive line spot.
We ain't done yet, boys. We ain't done. Exhale. We're moving on. We're playing Duquesne. Say it with me. We just need to win a quad two game, and Illinois is going for the Sweet 16. God, this is going to be the worst sound clip in the history of sound clips if we do not win on Saturday. My goodness, we're going to have to burn this tape. Anything else, gents? Otherwise, let's enjoy an evening and a day tomorrow also of just, let's just enjoy the games tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Would love to, we'll see what happens. Just keep an eye on the rest of the East region. You know, we'll see what happens.
Keep an eye on the rest of the East region.
Hopefully not many other Big Ten teams advancing.
That would be kind of nice if we were the last.
That would be fun.
I know. Like, we knew right away Izzo was going to win that game. Like, that's what happened. But hopefully the other teams, let's see some struggle out of them.
This is definitely not bad karma at all for us right now. We can talk whatever we want. It's totally fine. Because all we need to do, guys, you guys know this, all we actually need to do is win a quad two game. And we're, oh, Johnny's like, oh, I didn't know that right there. Excellent. GG, boys. Never take it for granted when Illinois is in the tournament. We appreciate you listening to this episode of The Boardroom. We will catch you on the next episode. I, Al.